John, thank you for that song. He done what he could. Did what he could. I want to read something this morning before we get to our text. As I thought about the message Brother Paul brought last night and that upper room, us meeting together, and then that woman bringing that alabaster box and pouring it on the head of our Lord, I made some reference to it, but I wanted to make sure I had the text right. Now listen, in Psalms 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." How good and how pleasant. Then he says, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. It was poured upon the head and ran down upon the whole body. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing." What a blessing. And he commanded it. He said it, done. Dictum factum. Said, done. And there he commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. What a blessing. To be able to worship with God's people. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together." He does the gathering. We need each other. We need each other. It's nice to sit and read devotions and God speak to our heart, but there is no substitute in this world for this right here. None. Now turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. Read verses 1 through 7. "And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and she told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debts. And live thou and thy children on the rest." What a beautiful story. Really happened. And he allowed all that to happen to teach us some lessons about his grace, his mercy, and his provisions. Here we see this man, he died. And his wife, she's in a mess. She's a widow woman with two sons. And if that's not enough, there's this great debt hanging over her head. And it's not just that the debt is hanging over her head. Now the creditor comes and he's demanding payment. You said, how cruel a creditor? No, how cruel a debt. You know, we read Romans chapter 6, and it pictures a woman being married to a man. And like the man she's married to is like the law. Well, then he dies. Well, then she's freed to be married to another. And I illustrated this for years. I said it's like she's married to that man, and you know, he tells her to clean the house, and she does everything that she thinks she's supposed to do. Well, then he comes in that evening, and he puts on his white glove, and he goes over to the top of that door, and he wipes it, and there's dust all over his glove. He said, you didn't clean the house. And you know what we said? We said, what a cruel husband. There's nothing wrong with the husband. She's just a bad wife. Nothing wrong with the law. You see what I'm saying? You say this was the law. The law, that's what the law demanded. You couldn't just say, well, the debt ought not to be paid. No, the debt, we're going to see the debt has to be paid. God's law has to be satisfied. God's demands have to be satisfied. But this man, he was a believer. She said he feared God. She said he was thy servant. Most believe that it was Obadiah. I think Gil and Hawker and others believed that this man, he died, he was Obadiah. Now, who was Obadiah? In 1 Kings chapter 18, you know, this is during the times of Elijah, when God withheld the rain for 3.5 years, and there was a famine in the land. And Ahab was king, had a wife named Jezebel. And you know what she did? She said, I'm going to kill every prophet. And it said in 1 Kings 18:3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. You think about that. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off all the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets, and he hid them 50 in a cave, and he fed them with bread and water, and it's not rained. How's he going to feed 100 prophets? He's got them hid. This is what that man did. At great expense to himself. And when he dies, he died with a great debt. Sometimes, a lot of times, God's people, we live in this world and they live just on the meager things of the world. And they may die poor with a great debt. That's not anything against their character. She said, this man, he feared the Lord. He feared God. And you think, you imagine trying to hide these men? And that at risk to his own life, he provided for them when everybody's trying to kill them. Trying to kill them. But he didn't leave her without anything. He left her with something. He left her with the gospel. If I could leave one thing to my children and my grandchildren, it would be to leave them the gospel of the grace of God. She's in trouble. What's she to do? I think she probably, knowing our human nature, she probably sold everything she could, trying to get rid of everything she had to try to pay the debt. Isn't that what we do? When we sin, you're just like me. When we sin, you know what we think we can do? We think we can do something to remove the guilt and we can restore God's favor. No, you can't. It will never work. Christ must reconcile. He must forgive. She goes to the prophet, which is like a picture of us coming to Christ, who is the great prophet. She went to him. You know why she came? She's needy. I picture trying to do everything else first, and that's us. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She'll go to every physician, spend all the money she has, and she doesn't get any worse. And she said, it's not removing the debt. It's not removing the guilt. And if I don't do something, they're going to come and take my sons. Would that be desperate? Desperate. And you know, I know when you'll come to him when you're desperate. Desperate. When there's nowhere else to go. Desperate. Desperate. The creditor comes. The wages of sin is death. We've sold ourselves for nothing. Nothing we do can satisfy the demands of God's holy law. And she knew it. She knew it. She believed, this woman's a believer. She believed God. That's why she came. That's why she came. He's the only one that can help her. The only one. He died, her husband did, believing that God would provide for his wife. He lived by faith, and he died by faith. He didn't waste things. He wasn't a waster. He feared God. And he lived under the promise of God, standing on the promises of God. I'm glad you told us to read that again. Standing, leaning, resting upon what his promises. We make promises and we can't keep them. When he makes a promise, they're all yea and amen in Christ. Not say, well, I'm going to tell you a promise and I don't know where you can depend on it or no. If he promised it, you can bank upon it. Where we feel anything or don't feel anything. She feels discouraged and down, but he's going to give her these promises. Jeremiah 49:11, leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me. Is there any here fatherless? Is there any widows here? Trust in him. Rest in him. We've been going through the book of James on Wednesday night, and James talks about pure religion. He said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows and their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that strange? You know what Christ did? He came to this world and he visited the widows and the fatherless and showed them mercy. What's this woman need? She needs mercy. She's a widow. And these kids are fatherless. All this happened so that the Lord might show us how he provides for those who trust in him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. She said, Elisha, I'm your handmaid. It's like us coming to Christ and, Lord, I'm your handmaid. I'm yours. I'm totally dependent upon you, and I don't have any clue about what I'm supposed to do. You ever feel that way? Every day. What am I to do? Well, look to him. He says, is it that simple? It's that simple. Go to him. Bow to him. Ask him. If any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God. That gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How's he going to supply her need? He said unto her. Now, Elisha did. Elisha said, basically, you know what Elisha's saying from the human standpoint? He said, I can't help you. What can I do for thee? And it's like, we preach the gospel to you, but I can't help you. I can't give you faith. I can't. It's an impossibility. I wished I could, but I can't. I can't. I can't. But she has this pot of oil. Where did she get that pot of oil? Her husband left it to her. And he asked the question, what do you have in the house? Has God ever asked you that question? What do you have in the house? And you go, well, There's nothing there but this pot of oil. Maybe I had forgot about it. Maybe I hadn't considered it. I consider it now. Maybe I hadn't considered him. I consider him now. We forget. Oh, how we forget. I wish we didn't. She's thinking about it now. And he, that's all he said. What do you have in your house? I thought he was going to help me. He is. You've got to see your need. You've got to see your inability. You've got to be made to see who you are. And that apart from grace, you have nothing. Nothing. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What she had, He had given her. This was all she had, and this was all she needed. Think about it. It's all she had, and it's all she needed. Don't despise the day of small things. Boy, we do. We want to see big things. Well, what does she have? Well, she got a pot of oil. And what is she told to do? Now, he's instructing her to do something. He said, go. And do what? Borrow some vessels. Empty vessels and not just a few vessels. Vessels. Empty vessels and not a few of them. Well, who's going to go get them vessels? She tells her sons to do it. Can you see these boys walking up to these houses? He's got to give these boys favor with these neighbors so they'll give their vessels. And some said that the reason they were so many empty vessels was because of the lack of oil. Like we talked about the spikenard, how precious it was. It's so precious. Christ is so precious. If you want to think about it, something I just thought about, the only place the oil might have been was in her house. The only place the gospel was at in Jacob's day was in Jacob's house. It was in her house. And she didn't take it out of the house. She brought the vessels to the house. That's how God works. She's not to make a come up with a design and say, well, this is how I think it ought to be done. No, He instructed her. And this is faith. Do you believe God will walk in the life that God has given unto you? She could just say, well, I just don't think that'll work. And I can see her young sons, if they were young, say, Mom, I just don't want to think I want to get up out of bed today. I don't want to go get any more pots. I'm tired of gathering pots. Isn't that how we are? We don't know. It doesn't say. We don't know how long it took them. I believe this. I believe they looked till they couldn't find any more. That's faith. Right? If He told me to go gather pots, I'm going to look till I can't find any more. Is there an empty pot here? As we preach the gospel, you know who I'm looking for? I'm looking for some empty pots. And I'm looking to find one. I have a hard time finding one. It's a hard time finding a sinner. A needy, helpless, empty, dry, desolate sinner. How can empty vessels pay this great debt? That's faith in God's Word. The same God who told her to go up, borrow the vessels would give her favor with those neighbors and they would just say, here, take them. I don't need it. It's of no use and it's of no value to me. It's of value to her. God is teaching her that she has nothing but Him. And all these vessels must be completely empty. It can't have just a little bit of anything in it. It's not empty. It's not Christ plus anything else. It's the fullness of Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as long as you think that you can do one thing to earn or merit God's favor or God's salvation, you're not empty. And it just, that vessel won't do. It won't do. It won't do. You must come empty to be filled. We have to come with nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Everything we have, He must give it. He gave the pot of oil, and He gave the oil. He said to go borrow, not just a few. He didn't tell how many to borrow. He just said, don't borrow a few. And then He said, when you've borrowed them, you get those vessels and you bring them into the house and shut the door and start pouring oil. You know what this reminds me of? You remember our Lord when He fed the 5,000? And in John chapter 6, verse 5, now listen. When Jesus lifted up His eyes and He saw a great company coming to Him, He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that all these may eat? Does He know the answer to that question? He sure does. Most every time when He asks the question, He's not asking for His information. He's asking for your information. And this He said to prove Philip. To prove him. For He knew Himself what He would do. He knows exactly what He knows what He's going to do. Yes. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread, it's not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. Some said that the 200 penny worth was probably all they had in the bag. This is all the bread we can buy. This is all we got. And how in the world can we feed all these people? And one of His disciples, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, well, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? That's how we look at things. The same thing. How is Christ going to feed all these people? We begin to say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And He knows exactly what He's going to do, and He's teaching them what He's going to do. And what Jesus said, we'll just make them sit down. Just tell them to sit down. What's He going to do? We'll just wait. Now, there was much grass in the place, so when the men sat down, the number about 5,000 men. You picked 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, which were already there, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down likewise of the fishes as much as they would. He took what was there, what little that was there, and fed all these people. What was already there. And they didn't all just get a little when they were all filled. He said, Johnny, you had enough? He said, yeah, I'm satisfied. You had enough, Bruce? Yeah, I'm satisfied. And He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered to them together, and they filled 12 baskets full with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. What's them 12 baskets for? Last time I counted, He had 12 disciples. What is this among so little? How did I get this basket full? He gave it to me. And He even gave Judas one. Didn't He? That's something to think about. Whether He appreciated it or not, we probably know He didn't, but He still got one. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. He's going to get all the glory in filling these vessels. Who got the glory for feeding those 5,000? But He can't say, well, I did. Andrew can't say, well, I didn't. I doubted it. And what I love right here, he did it in spite of their unbelief. If God didn't do things in spite of our unbelief, nothing would ever get done. If it was just us believing God, and I wished we did, he did it. Our faith is mixed with unbelief. It's just, you can't separate Jacob and Esau. You can't. She gathered, and we don't, like I said, we don't know how long it took her. She could have had pots sitting all over that house. And you know what she does? She shuts the door. This ain't for onlookers. This is not for the neighbors. This is not for the creditor. It's not even for the prophet. This is between her and her sons. This is Christ, his church, and his people. As I thought about this, you remember when our Lord is on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter? And on the way, heals the woman with the issue of blood. And it's like I see Jairus watching our Lord while he's pausing to deal with this woman with the issue of blood. And, he's thinking, well, we need to get home. We need to get home. And as soon as he heals the woman with the issue of blood, here comes somebody running up and said, don't bother the master. Jairus, your daughter's already dead. And our Lord turned and looked at him. He said, only believe. And when he gets to the house, our Lord said, she's not dead. She only sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took in Peter, James, and John. They witnessed firsthand what he did. Paul, imagine seeing that. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Tabitha Cuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. I can see Peter, James, and John walk out of the house, and they say, what in the world happened? You'd have had to been there. I can tell you, but you wouldn't believe it. Isn't that right? I can tell you, but you wouldn't believe it. You must experience the grace of God as it flows and just keeps flowing. I can see them start pouring and say, Mama, it keeps flowing. And that pot's full. She sits and said, go get another one. I said, Mama, will it not run out? And she said, the prophet said it wouldn't. And it just keeps pouring. And here they get another vessel. And keep getting another vessel. She had this pot of oil and these empty vessels. She had the promise as she poured it out. That was the promise. The promise was not when she kept it in the pot, but when she poured it out of the pot. We want to keep it in the pot. It may run out. It's like you said, you know what I need in the pot? I need it right now. I need it right now. And he filled these vessels. She said, verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. That's what she was to do, and that's what she did. We don't know how long it took, but she did. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. I can see her probably so busy pouring the oil, she just fails to remember how many she's poured. She looks at me and goes, oh my goodness, look at all these vessels. They're not empty anymore. They're full. And she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. You know how long the oil of God's grace will flow? As long as there's one empty vessel left. As long as there's one elect child of God sinner that has to be filled, as long as there's one, it's going to flow.
Yeah.
It won't quit flowing. Imagine all the way down through the years, it's just kept flowing. It will never run out. It's never diminished. Isn't it kind of ironic when Elijah, he goes to a widow woman's house and God said, that's where I'll sustain you. And she had a little flour and a little cruse of oil. We have him. And I tell you, he's enough. He's enough. He's always brought to pass that which he promised. What you promised. He made good on his promises. All the vessels were filled. I can see her look at them boys and say, sons, he did exactly what he said. I can't believe. I'm amazed. Does his grace amaze you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When he empties us, he does this that he may fill us. You can't empty yourself. You get down and you start confessing your sins. Well, you might as well keep staying down there because you ain't going to quit confessing them. That's it. He must empty you. And he will. He will. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. If that vessel's full, it's complete. There's nothing more you can put into it. It's complete. It's complete. What was that vessel made for? To be filled with oil. That's exactly why. And it's full of him. Of him. Him. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power to all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The vessels failed before the oil failed. Our power of receiving will give out long before his power of giving. There's sometimes, David said, what did he say? My cup runneth over. It's more than I can stand. I've thought many times, why will we need a glorified body? I can tell you why. This old vessel, this old body couldn't stand it. That's exactly right. Sometimes it's just, you don't know what to say. You just overflowing. You just want to sit down and just shut up. Right? It just, my cup runneth over with him. Now that the vessels are full, what is she to do? And as I read this, I noticed he never told her what to do the first time. He said, you go get the vessels, empty vessels, not a few, bring them in, shut the door. Pour the oil in the vessels, and when they're full, they can't tell what to do. What's she to do now? She has to go to him. Like I said, she walked in the light that she had. And she was obedient unto that, and she did exactly what she was asked or told to do. And she said, there's no more vessel. Then she came and told the man of God what she'd done. And you know what he said? Go. What did he tell her to do the first time? Go. What did he tell her to do the second time? Go. Go and do what? And he said, go sell the oil. I said, well, I never thought about that. Why does he want me to fill all these vessels with oil? Now he tells her. Now this is what I'm going to do. Go sell the oil and pay the debt. The debt has to be paid first. The law has to be satisfied. All this that's happened, none of this up to this point has removed the debt. None of it. And she takes it. and she sells it. She don't determine the price that it'll bring. And she gets enough, not just enough, she gets enough to pay the whole debt. And I can see the man as she goes into the accountant and he gets out his pen and he said, I see right here it's paid in full. The creditor won't be coming to your house anymore. If God be for me, who can be against me? He just spared not his own son and delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He has paid the debt. It is finished. I can see her with one son and a Jacob. Mama, do you mean they ain't going to come get me? They're going to make me a slave. She said, you don't have anything to worry about. Fear not, little flock. If he paid your debt, it's paid. What are we going to do when we get home, Mama? We're going to stop by store and get us some groceries. And we're going to live on the rest for the rest of our life. That oil did all that? Know you not that you were redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ. What oil. How precious. What a promise. My question to you today is there any empty vessels here? If you're not, I pray the Lord empties you and makes you see your need. And I pray that He will fill you with His grace. And He said, you know what? I've paid the debt. You know, we forget it, don't we? We keep forgetting it. What's it say? This do in remembrance of me. They're in that house that they close the door. And they sit down, and every time they sit down at a meal, you know what they say? What we have because He gave it. We come in here, and we sit down in His house. The world has no clue what we're doing, and we partake of everything that He bought. And it's ours. What a God. What a God. Amen.
Wanda.